Psalm 89 is our new psalm of the month. We'll be meditating on it this morning in a psalm meditation and then singing throughout it in our service and throughout the month of January. It's a longer psalm, but I intend to read it in its entirety. And as I said, as I introduced our first selection to sing, that the main point of this psalm is that God is faithful to His covenant, and that's particularly shown in His covenant to King David, which points us to our Lord Jesus Christ. Please listen as I read Psalm 89. A contemplation of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One, and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Also I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heavens. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out from my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. But you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all his hedges. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword and have not sustained him in the battle. You have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. This is Psalm 89, written, as indicated by the author, Ethan the Ezrahite, a man who is wise compared even to the wisdom of King Solomon. It's a psalm that stands at the end of an internal division of the book of Psalms. If your Bible is like mine, it may say at the end of this psalm, either the end of book 3, or you might see the indication of the beginning of book 4. And the Psalter is grouped into certain pairings of psalms. And think back to some of those meditations that we've had in recent months, and you'll notice that there is a similar cry of lament that these psalms have about them, a crying out to God during affliction. And Psalm 89 is no different in that it also cries out to God, turning attention especially during affliction to God's faithfulness to his covenant, and particularly his covenant promise to King David. Verses 1 through 4 especially state that theme and state how God will remember his covenant, how he will remember especially how he has sworn to his servant David that he would establish his seed or his generations that would follow after him, and that his throne would be built up to all generations. What I'd like to do is to give you a very brief overview of this psalm by way of an outline so that you can see how the psalm progresses to develop that theme, but then come back and focus very briefly on King David and how David stands as a type of Christ. This psalm helps us remember God's faithfulness by directing our meditation and praise to a series of demonstrations of God's covenant truths. First of all, in verses 5 through 13, you see that God made and sustains the heavens and the earth. It's God's covenant with creation being described. He's mightier than heavenly beings and more powerful than the raging, untamable sea. Second, in verses 14 through 18, God is faithful to his covenant people. He has shown mercy to his people, the church. He's made us to walk before the Lord in the light of his face, celebrating the means of grace that he has given and the favor he has shown. It's especially captured in verse 14, where it describes that our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Thirdly, is especially God's faithfulness to David. God has made a special covenant with David, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. Fourthly, that was verses 19 through 29. In verses 30 through 37, God promises to discipline those who broke covenant with him. This too is part of his covenant faithfulness, that even though we might wander from God's promises and God's word, that he does not. Fifthly, verses 38 through 51, based on God's faithfulness, the church repents and asks God to forgive and to restore. You can see the progression of meditating on God's faithfulness and how that leads us to respond to God in repentance and dependence upon his faithfulness. Let me go back then briefly to David. The psalm says that God chose David to rule. The children might especially remember the story of how God chose David. You might remember that David was not a strong soldier. He was not as old and mature as his older brothers were and ready to serve. Neither did he look very good. The Bible describes him as, the old word is ruddy. That means that he spent a lot of time out in the sun, which in those days was a sign that you were a common laborer. So he didn't look very good. The cameras in David's day would not have focused on David. They would have focused on his older brothers. They were tall and strong. But God chose David. God chose him to be a king. It wasn't based on his parents, his physical prowess, or his beauty. It was based on God's authority. It highlights his power, his faithfulness, over and against man's power and faithfulness. The psalm goes on to elaborate then God's covenant with David, including that God delivered him from enemies, elevated him to a position of authority, giving him a title of firstborn and a throne that would be established forever. And those words, from our New Testament perspective, lead us immediately to begin to think of Jesus Christ, don't they? Now, the title firstborn that's given to David is a title that is right to give to him, and that it can be a reference to rank. He wasn't the first king of Israel, but he was the man after God's own heart. And because of that, the father of kings, and the king by which all kings would come from. But there is another king that descends from David, and that's the King Jesus Christ, who is given the title firstborn of all creation. The New Testament identifies Jesus as firstborn in rank as well. Colossians 1 especially identifies Jesus as one who is firstborn. He is the one who fulfills the promise that there would be a Davidic king forever ruling over the house of God. For David is one who died, and yet Jesus is one who lives forever. And of his kingdom there is no end. And of the increase of his government there is no end. David had a son, and that son is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And God's faithfulness to his covenant is captured in this promise to David. He says, "I will not lie to David. I will keep my word." And in Jesus he did so. There's a fascinating fulfillment of this, especially where it says that I will set David's hand over the oceans and he will still them. And the oceans were a symbol of all those things that are uncontrollable by mankind. And God used David to bring order to the kingdom in his day. But think of how literally Jesus calmed the waves as he spoke, and the Sea of Galilee became calm. And that too symbolizing the power that he has over all things, that he orders everything to his purposes. that promise has great meaning then for us as the psalm turns and says, you have not and will not be faithful, and we would confess that. We have not been faithful. But God says, I will not forsake my promise, even so. I will discipline, I will bring you back, but I will not forget my word. And that leads the people of God to confess sin. We acknowledge that there is a time of discipline, and this psalm acknowledges how God has cast off, has abhorred, has been furious, and in humility we are led to pray to the Lord, not based on our faithfulness, but based on His promise to never forget. And this psalm leads us to this great truth, that God remains faithful. We're prone to wander, and we're prone to sin, but God has been and will be faithful and merciful. He's provided forgiveness of sins through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And while He may discipline us, as a father disciplines his children, He will never cast us off. Isn't it right then that this psalm closes with what we call a doxology? And even the doxology that we'll sing today and in the coming months. Blessed be the God, be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. It's not just the close of this internal structure, but it's the close of this psalm. Lord, we are faithless, but You are faithful. May You be blessed forevermore. Amen. Let's sing another portion of this psalm together. Let's turn to the B selection, which highlights God's covenant with creation. Psalm 89b. As we remember God's faithfulness in the created order, we remember how He has made us and sustains us. Let's stand and sing His praise. Psalm 89b.